This is Channel 1 over. This is Channel 1 over. And a continuation of the first visit with Lois Dixon with Florence on Thursday, the 13th of March, 1969, I think it was. This is Channel 1 over. This is Channel 1 over. This is Channel 1 over. A continuation of the first visit with Lois Dixon with Florence on Thursday, the 13th of March, 1969.
Until less than 200 years ago, the best pottery in use in England came from Holland. All the previous talk about the man who made Wedgwood. It was mostly made of Delft, and they called it Delft ware. Finally, they got to making Delft ware in Staffordshire. This was about the middle of the 18th century. And it seems that a little before that time, John Wesley, a traveling preacher, came up this way on horseback, carrying tracts in his saddlebags and much love in his heart. He believed that we should use our religion in our life 7 days in a week and not save it up for Sunday. In ridicule, someone had called him a Methodist, and the name stuck. John Wesley was a few hundred years in advance of his time. He is the man who said, slavery is the sum of all villainies. John Wesley had a brother named Charles who wrote hymns. But John did think. He had definite ideas about the rights of women and children, also on temperance, education, taxation, and exercise, and whether his followers have ever caught up with him, much less gone ahead of him, is not for me. A modest farmer to say. Well, it does all.
Well, now you can see why people like to read that.
I was surprised. They say out of a lot of pain comes beauty very often. And Josiah had a very, very tragic time until he got his wife. And he was abused at home. And the girl he fell in love with as a child, who evidently had some sympathy for him, or actually admiration too, even though he was so unattractive, it described him as lame and pockmarked. Mm-hmm. And he had to go through tremendous setbacks to finally get her. The father did everything he could to obstruct his ways, like requiring large amount of dowry and so forth. But his genius carried him through, and he finally won the one he loved. Mm-hmm. So it's a rather impressive love story, which mm-hmm. he unwinds, and you feel so sorry mm-hmm. for this little fella. but yet, you can see how this tribulation is what caused him to produce the beauty he did.
She has a beautiful piece of the ritual.
Oh, really?
Strong thing.
Oh, yeah.
Each piece is different, and it was the first time this style was perfected. It mentions in the story that up until that time it was very crude pottery, and it was only utilitarian, and he was one of the first ones to ever make beauty out of it.
Oh.
So it must have been something in Josiah's soul that, like his planting a garden, that brought forth this beauty in pottery. So it has lots of facets to the story. Mm-hmm. He didn't mention this particularly, but you can see the undercurrent of it as you read it. He picked strange people in there for his love story, doesn't
uh-huh.
he? Lois. Who were some of the others? And Dante, and who were some of the others?
This says here, No Journey to the Home of Great Lovers, Book 1. So there may be another volume to the Home of Great Lovers. In this volume, Josiah and Sarah Wedgwood, William Godwin and Mary Wollstonecraft, Dante and Beatrice, John Stuart Mill and Harriet Taylor, Parnell and Kitty O'Shea, and Petrarch and Law. And there's just six in here. So I guess it must be more than another volume.
But not people that you usually think of.
Oh, and here's a recipe for Bible cookies.
In the middle of it all.
All right, now I want to show you something else. I always have something to show. I got this letter this morning from Lakeland. And this is a picture of an article about Mary's brother, Mary's the flesh. This is Paul over in Tallahassee, who's in the hospital when she came to Tallahassee. And this is in the Lakeland paper. He was born in Lakeland. And now he is he's retiring from FSU, and he's giving them his $10,000 for the books.
Now, who is this? Paul?
Paul Dixon, my cousin, who has been at FSU for a few years.
Uh-huh.
He's born in Lakeland. He's the brother of this girl who just been visiting me, Florence, so
yeah.
Was down the other day in Mount Mary.
Mary.
She was Mary Dixon.
Uh-huh. What's her name?
She's now Mary Shattuck.
S-H-A-D-D-I-C-K,
Shattuck. Shattuck was a Texan, but they were married and lived most of their married life in Miami. And he retired and wanted to go back to Texas. And you know there's a family in Greenville, whether you know them or not, whose name is Shattuck. They live on 7th Avenue. And he's with the, I think, agriculture department, something like that, agriculture. And they have a beautiful yard of azaleas, kind of show place, azaleas. And I saw him picked the other day where he'd been to Jacksonville, a judge at an azalea show. Well, now they are related to my friend whom I visit in Jacksonville, and her name is Mary. And whenever I go to say these two Marys, I have to take time to go poke it up. The names are just exactly like it. Once again with C, once again with an S. My cousin is Mary Shattuck. This girl is Mary Shattuck. Is that making a difference? Between the C and the S?
That's like telling twins apart.
Uh huh. Mm.
Very, very nice.
Uh-huh. Mary didn't say anything about that when she was just here. Paul's going to move to Clearwater Beach.
Going to retire now.
Uh-huh.
They look a little alike.
Huh?
They look a little
uh-huh.
alike.
They look something alike.
Except she's so much better than she is. Quite a collection.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if he has $10,000 worth of books, he'd need a library to put in.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few books, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, he has quite a fine collection of journals.
He's lived quite a long while in Germany while he was in the service.
What did he teach there?
He was head of the foreign language. He did foreign languages. And when he came back to his country, I reckon this was his, you saw that was his doctor and so that was his dissertation? He gave me a copy of it.
A little small for dissertation.
Hmm? Small for dissertation? Well.
That's an article. They had to be sick.
Maybe that's a thesis.
Yeah, that's a thesis. Uh-huh.
Maybe.
Well, when he first came out of service, he taught at West Point, and they bought a lovely home overlooking the river. And I thought, what a lovely place! I just love to visit there. Before I go to visit there. She says that Paul, can you pull any wires? You can pull any wires at all. Let's go back to Germany. I want to go back to Munich. And when he couldn't pull any military wires, so he was out. But
well, that's teaching several languages at once, so much like you.
But the University of Maryland has a branch to Banks University in Munich. So he got contact with them. He wasn't too happy with that because his mother was aging. He's crazy about his mother. apartments, you know.
Condominiums.
And so they still own that, unless their vote, because it seems they've had quite a sizable vote, they left that over there. But he said he'd feel better back over here near his mother during her last year, so he got this job in Tallahassee. But they still go back there every summer. But now the mother's gone, and I guess they get a little weaned away from over there. And her mother lives in St. Petersburg, so that's the reason why they're going to Clearwater. Then he said we can put the boat right at the back door.
Oh, she's moving. Your house is so pretty.
Her mother and father built this.
No, when my mother didn't build it, no.
No?
No, they didn't build it, but they were the second owners of the abstract reached from the Aradonda Grant to the Van Ness estate, to Henry Price, who built the house, to Henry Dixon, my father. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, now, how did he get it? How did it happen to get it so early? Hmm? Now, did he live here? This is home?
My father?
Yeah.
He built it. He bought it, Phil. He bought it in about 1903.
What was he doing down here?
But when he came down as the old man for his health.
Yes.
His brother-in-law had to come down for his health. He was an asthmatic.
Yeah.
And he liked this and thought it was kind of a coming area, so he had him come down. And then
he didn't settle down here then.
My father married in 1894. I went into business with Mr. J.P. Christian. Christian Dixon down here where Wind Story is now for about 35 years.
Yeah.
Wow. And this house was built about it was built about 2 years before they came here. I guess.
And you were brought up here.
No, I was born before they came up here. They owned the little place down at the end of the street. I was born there, lived there when I was about 3 years old, so I really don't know now. I wasn't born here.
Yeah, well, I didn't know. So this is your...
She lived here since she was about three,
yeah.
Is that right? And she said she out here at the corner of the house with hitching post.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She said she recalled the buggies coming
up.
Oh,
yeah, there used to be two. One in the corner. We left that to keep the people from running into the fence with their cars.
Yeah.
We left that. And there's another down near the gate, but that was kind of in the way, so we took that one up.
Yeah.
She said they would hitch their buggies
yeah.
there when she was
yeah.
a little girl to visit her parents.
Yeah, so I didn't realize you just lived all the time now.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you say you went to school right down the street?
Yeah, right over there in the street where there used to be a schoolhouse. And then they abandoned that school and built up here on the high school. I never went to that school. Mm-hmm. And there's an old tree down here near the barn. Where they had some big rings where they fastened the rings of the horse. And you can just barely see that little ring now.
Yeah.
It won't be too many years before you can't see it.
Yeah.
The tree just going around.
Just goes around. Mm-hmm.
The barns are still down there where the horses were on one side and the carriage on the other.
Oh, are they? Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
And I think there's sort of an incline in the floor, I think, where the carriage
Well, no, I think in that way, that got to where it was so, we'd have rains and there'd be an accumulation of moss,
uh-huh.
and you'd want to get a roof that get some things you had stored, and you would slip and slide, and I thought, for somebody breaks a leg or something, or I break my neck, I'll take that down, because we have no horses, nothing with wheels going up there anymore. So I had to turn that down before we didn't have an accident and put a
I think some of the original fixtures are in around. There was something you told me about one of the marble pieces around the one of the basins and one of the bathrooms.
That's on the house. So that was broken in 1897 when they had that big freeze. This house was built, Mr. Henry Price had money. And so he had a water system. He had a bath upstairs, a bath downstairs, and then another laboratory, just a laboratory, in this bedroom up here. And that's the one that froze. you know, 1897. And they just tore it out and didn't repair it, and the broken marble slabs are still under the house.
How about that? Well, that was looking ahead to have a bath, upstairs bathroom in 1897.
Uh-huh. But I want to tell you how it was, though. And other houses, and some other houses in town had water, had their own water system, too. And all these houses, Mr. Van Ness, who started this town, was from Maryland. He bought the township. And he laid out, that's Van Ness Park, we call it.
Oh, huh?
That's Van Ness Park.
You see, I'd heard Van Ness Park, but I didn't know who it was.
Well, Van Ness, the man who started, who bought the township, started the town. And he set that aside, that was always be a park. And it had a little pavilion in it, cute little open pavilion, and a high board fence. And there was a gate on all four sides. And I can remember that fence very well. Well, we used to walk the fence, climb up there and walk the fence.
Yes.
But then it got a little unsafe in places, and it was excessive to give up. So they finally tore it down, or they cut it down. So it wasn't so high anymore. They cut it down 30 feet. But in time, they did away with that entirely. And then the our community house over there, it was our WPA project.
Mm-hmm.
We tore down the pavilion and built it.
Didn't you mention something about having some kind of Sunday afternoon socials over there when you were a little girl?
Oh, yes, and ice cream socials. And the first Sunday school in McIntosh was held under this tree right here in the corner.
Uh-huh.
And my aunt, my father's sister, who came down, it was my father's brother-in-law who had the asthma. He came down in covered, he had a party of two covered wagons, Negro drivers, and one was the kind of camping outfit, and the other, his wife, the wife was my father's sister, and they camped around this big tree over here, because the center there is building that house over there, that house right there. And so he stayed here long enough. He stayed everywhere he camped long enough to see whether how he felt about his breathing. But he liked it here, felt better. So he sent for my father to come down. He said, I think this is a good place for a young man. And they did my health good. Maybe he did. My father didn't have asthma. He had kind of a catarrhal stomach trouble, as they called it that back in those days. And he thought the water here, something might be good for him. So he came down. So this aunt used to have sunscreen out here under this tree.
How about that? Miss Orson tells me too, you had a relative that lived up across the street, wasn't it?
Yes, and he built this house. And he camped over here, you see, while this friend built this house. And when this friend's house was finished, by that time, Uncle McNeil, I call him Uncle Mac, decided he won't make this his home too. So he had those carpenters leave that job and build one exactly like it over here. That was his house. But now then, those houses have changed hands since the time, and the owners have changed them, so they don't look like now. But you go inside and you can still see somewhat the same floor plan inside.
Mm-hmm.
But the different new owners have added different portions, different roof lines and things. But the same carpet is built. And this house used to have a picket fence around it, just like mine. But later that day, just so they began to tear the fence down. Here, I can show you this.
She was telling me about a tree over there, Guy, that was in that yard.
Oh, yes.
She said when she was a little girl.
Now that's this house. See the fence?
Uh-huh.
Well, that other house had the same kind of fence, this thing from the inside there.
Yeah.
And my uncle then, with the lumber that was left from building that house, he built this some house. And people in the buggies used to come down here from Gainesville, Ocala, every Sunday afternoon to see the house and the tree.
Yeah. Well, now that house and the tree is a little...
It's gone now.
Is a little, it's got a round roof.
Yes, uh-huh. It's a little summer house.
A little summer house.
And we went here, and there's a little pavilion, a little stand there, you know, a little brick in it.
then I think there's another one there before they went on in.
She was telling me there was one big tree over there, and she was a girl, and each tree was a state.
Each limb
of the tree was a state. And they would go to Alabama and Georgia and South Carolina and so forth, and that's the way they learned the state, because all of them.
That's
and
nice.
There was one limb that they called Fernandina, and that was a high limb.
Uh-huh.
And my little cousins I played with, they were a little older than I, they wouldn't let me go to Fernandina.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I grew up with the greatest desire to go to Fernandina. I thought I'd never get to Fernandina. I made 3 trips to Jacksonville to go with my family. The Angus, who had some engineering contracts over there, but something happened, we didn't get to go. I said, I'd talk to my soul, I'd never get to Fernandina.
You won't do it.
You know what you want to have, you see some of these things you come sort of sketched out and go along with the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see so much more in the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
About this little thing here, after the material is left over from the house, you just made that somehow.
Yes, sir. And you know, I just wouldn't think anything of that fence. I just attend that fence today with my life almost.
Uh-huh.
She does too. I see the folks out there walking the fence around the gate. I said, honey, I don't do that. You might fall.
You might hurt the fence too.
You
might
hurt the fence too.
Yeah, that's
All right, now this is kind of interesting old thing too. My mother was a Willingham.
And this is old Willingham home place. Of course, she didn't live there. I mean, but that's where her people came from.
That's
in Market Raisin, England.
That's one of those big old country houses.
Uh-huh.
Manor houses. Family houses.
If I were ever to go to England, I would...
Now that has something on it.
This was taken of our grandfather's home. Now, not her grandfather, but this is another one of the family. It'd be my great-great-grandfather.
Yeah.
Her great-great-grandfather, I guess. This is a taken of our grandfather's home at the request of a Mr. Watson, now living in Market Raisin, England. Mr. Thomas Willingham, my great-grandfather, was the owner of this estate, and my grandfather, Thomas Henry Willingham, was the eldest of 3 sons who purchased a large estate on Sullivan's Island near Charleston, South Carolina. He died leaving only one child, who was my father, Mr. Thomas Willingham. Thomas' favorite name in the family. My other 2 younger brothers of my grandfather moved, one to Virginia, the other to Georgia. My people descended from the one in Georgia. After these 3 sons of my great-grandfather left the old home place at Market Raisin, it is said he sold this entire estate for $1.5 million. This estate is known all over England and is situated adjacent to the town of Market Raisin in Lincolnshire.
Uh-huh.
But it's still in existence at all now.
I bet it is. But it's there.
Yeah.
They preserve most of those old places.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, yes. Yeah. They keep the pillars on and the fence paint on.
It's probably just like it did when he left it.
That's amazing, isn't it, how they do that.
Yeah. But, yeah, Miss Lois has that picket fence out there painted, but she has a real problem.
Well, let me tell you, and it needs painting now. It needs painting badly. On the outside, the paint is coming off. It's scaling off considerably.
How many buckets does it take?
It says 8 gallons.
Yeah.
And a man came, I asked the tree men who were here, the tree surgeons, taking care of some of their broken limbs I had from that hurricane.
Yeah.
Just to make conversation, I said, you don't know nobody who wants to paint a fence, do you? I'm looking for somebody to paint a fence. And so he came back and said, he said, my 2 young men said they'd paint that fence. They want how much I want to paint. I said, I declare, I forgot what I used to pay. I paid 2 elderly men one time who just, did it when the sun was right, when the weather was right, and I forgot how much I paid them. The last time I paid, it went into the house, So I said, I just don't know. But I said, I'll tell you this, I know it takes 8 gallons to paint it. You asked me how much they charge to put on 8 gallons of paint. We will get at it that way somehow. But I said, it's got to be straight too.
Yes.
So he said he'd let me know and come back and tell me. So he came back and he told me, well, the young man came himself. He says, can't talk to you about the plants. He said, I used to be a painter for our voice of the day. I was glad to hear that. Well, if you're going to buy that much paint, you don't want somebody to know about to put it on.
Yeah.
And he said, I have, before I was with the Sorrow Car Company, or rather, before this, with these surgeons, the tree surgeons, he said, I painted. And he said, I'll scrape and paint the fence for $125. So I said, well, let me figure out my painting. And then you come back. Yeah, so I went down to Edgefield Wynn. Going back, and he, of course, eight gallons of paint, about $7. That would run something over $200. Bill said, I think you can find somebody who paints less than that. He said, some of these men who have retired,
yeah,
who can't make but just so much,
yeah,
and glad to get some part-time work,
yeah,
if he can find Spot and Bill in his position down there at the store.
He's and then he'd be sort of committed to
and
thing, too.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And to look at.
I told two old...
See, your neighbors can see that better than you can.
I paid these two men down here, but they're both dead and gone now down here. And if we had more fun, I said, I'll furnish the boxes for yourself. You can't just stoop and squat and pay for that. I'll furnish the boxes for you to sit on. I have, well, now that's something. I have some old nail kings. You can't find this anymore.
No.
Unless you go away to some old country store. And then they're a thing for that. So I said, I'll furnish the nail case with the stone and the paint. You furnish the brush. You furnish your brushes and paint in the shade at the time of day for the most suits you.
How many sides?
Well, every picture's got four sides.
You got the front and the side.
Uh-huh, that's, uh-huh.
There's two sides.
Mm-hmm. There's about 350 feet of it.
The problems of the picket fence. How about
well,
that?
I tell you, these city blocks are 300 feet square.
Oh.
Well, this I know. This front line here is exactly 150 feet. Is that exactly half of that? That's 150.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is more. That half of it is 300. But it'll be about 325. It'll be about 325 feet.
And you paint it with just good oil paint?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know that, what they call it, latex. The latex paint is easy to eat. You have a side there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll, before I get out, I know there are a lot of new things in paint. But my father used to say he was a great one to paint. And he said there's not been a bit in the world of paying labor put on sour paint,
yeah,
or cheap paint. And we've had this house painter spend time, he'd give it to a contract painter down. And and people who paint then move around with different contractors,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So maybe we had different contractors, but we sometimes get the same painters.
Yeah.
And one other little man who painted this house, I don't know how many times, and he'd be in the crowd that painted.
Yeah.
And one time he said, you know, we're going to have to take off some of these paint boards.
The house is going to fall down. That was you noticed the woodworking around the door facings, mostly in the parlor, but just like this,
yeah,
around the fireplace. Did you ever notice that? That
well,
the panel of wood.
Father James was here the other day. It took her about half an hour to get this box of candy open.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did.
Huh? She was a good girl.
And then it kept her in the counter entertainment about half an hour.
So now, but was she, didn't
well,
now,
how, did you, how did you think of this?
Danielle was eating the candy that time.
She thought of it.
Did you bring up this candy?
Huh?
No, she thought
no,
of it. I couldn't imagine anyone giving a little baby, thank you, a beautiful box like that. She said that was Jancy's first orchid.
Uh-huh.
And so she gave her the box.
But she didn't take the orchid. She didn't take the orchid home with her, though. I said
no. And so she let her tear the paper off. She couldn't get it loose, and so she worked, sat here on the couch, and worked to work to work while Miss Lois and Mary and I visited.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, old girl, maybe you wouldn't think I'd hear about her like candy, but I did. It came from the mail.
It did.
It came from the mail. So I thought it was so pretty. I hadn't opened it, so I thought Jan could just entertain her, and she had a good time with it.
She did.
And I intended for her to have the orchid.
Oh,
you take it to her yet?
I will take it to her.
You take it to her yet?
I will indeed. Ah, good well. It surprised us, because she's just 1 year old, and we didn't hear a word out of her.
No.
Miss Lois saw it just the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is like her. This is charming. I just love to see this.
This is an interesting house. She has
I live in an old house, but it's clean. Mr. the Collins house, next door.
Yeah.
It's a better house.
Mm-hmm. Where did the bed come from?
By slaves on the old Tremere farm on the bank of the Tugaloo River. Near Augusta, between Tupelo, is a part of the line between South Carolina and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt, as I speak of, my uncles, where I used to go over there, they didn't say me having fun, but the geese going back and forth in the morning and night. Well, her husband was named Tremere, and they were originally from Ireland. And he had come to Georgia from this place in the South Carolina, on the Tugaloo River.
Mm. Oh, yes, this is nice. That old house up there was built in the 90s, Miss Edna said. That's all I know.
Was it the great place?
Yes. And Mr. Barron built it. He's the one who built where Miss Johnson is. There used to be a store somewhere, but I don't want to get it straight.
Someone ought to write all that down before the people go that knew.
I have it down on the tapes. Miss Anna used to talk a whole lot, and I just automatically.
And Miss Edna would know how.
I never taped Miss Edna. She, I just never had her keys into it.
And of course, she isn't here now anymore.
No. What I do with Miss Anna, she didn't care, and I just automatically, I'd go over and visit with her, and I'd just take the tape and just leave it on, and then when I got home, I'd retape it, and most of it, she wasn't worth fooling with, and some of the things, and I don't know what's on the tape, I forget, but she said a lot of things. That's the trouble with tapes, you see, you get it on there, and then you got to get it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of have to go back through them and find out what you're going to use. But it's innocent to do. So
yes. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of historians of McIntosh still living here.
Yeah.
I think somebody would take the trouble to go around and talk to these people, because Miss Hayden was the first white child.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
In McIntosh. She's still here. That doesn't seem possible,
does it? And she talks well. She knows much. She remembers things, that she gets things straight.
She wrote a history of McIntosh. And it's in the scrapbook. It's in the Civic League scrapbook.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know whether this is Ms. Jane Bateman knows something. Mrs. Bateman. Bateman's old family around here.
Yeah.
That Vidal place was a Hester place Mrs. Hester above the basin.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
By the railroad. And Mrs. Bateman, this Mrs. Bateman I speak of, she was a Baldwin. She was Murdy's Baldwin. And her mother ran the hotel down here. And that was an aristocratic old place. Now, that had atmosphere back in those days.
Yeah.
And people used to come down here from Kentucky and Iowa and New York, all around, and bring their birds. That'd be a great bird hunting place.
Well, who can?
It's a lot of quail.
Who can talk about that?
Huh?
Who can talk about that?
About the old hotel? Uh-huh. Who can tell you about the old hotel?
Murdy's basement. Her mother ran the hotel until her death, Mrs. Baldwin.
Now, I'll tell you, I used to go to...
I remember some of those interesting people used to come in. One of them was Judge Niels. He was on the bench in New York City. And he'd come down with his dogs, and he'd hunt, and then he'd go fishing. And every year, he'd get lost on the lake. You know, the floating islands out there. And every year, while the world would get around, Judge Niels is lost. And everybody dropped what they were doing, go out the lake, try to find Judge Niels. And he was, yes, McIntosh made the front page. Some big socialite and some Indian. I've got this like Bob, but he was a judge on the stage at that time. And the newspaper was full out all over the country. And so that was the early days of telephone, too. But in New York Times said that they phoned Judge Mills at his fishing lodge at McIntosh Lodge. And he used to sit down there. That's a grand place to sit in the sun on that hotel porch. He'd sit out there with a rug over his knees and cap pulled down. And everybody sitting around about, walking around about. They get up and leave. They come back to hear Judge Hill talking about his, some of his experiences here and up there. Just love to hear him talk. And about that time, the far off.
Now that's something that was easy, he could see it.
Uh-huh, that's the beginning of the end. McIntosh forever was the same again.
He liked it rustic.
He liked it, they liked it like a ball.
Yeah, I wonder when that was, the 20s? Or had, as far as power hadn't been in that long.
You remember when?
Yes, I guess that would have been about in the 20s. Because before that time, everybody had the land. Some few people had some other kind of land even before Delco. And then my father, and Mr. Turnstein, and Mr. Robinson, those three men, not Mr. Christian. I don't want Mr. Christian to get in. Chris and Dixon were into everything together, but Mr. Christian wasn't in on that. It's my father and Carl Turnstein and Mr. Robinson. And they bought a very large jungle plant. And they lighted the town, our street lights. They lighted all the churches, and they lighted all the business houses.
Well, sir.
And their three houses.
Yeah.
Just those residences. That was as much power as they had.
Yeah.
And so we got these pictures. All these houses were for Delco.
Oh.
And then Florida Power. Then Florida Power came through, you know.
Yeah.
And by that time, we were having trouble with the plan.
Yeah.
And I think Mr. Robinson had died. He was on the little factory. It was on his, we put it in his yard. It was put in his yard. And so then they just closed that out. Everybody hooked on to that. Well, when then everybody began to have those kind of things in, that much power. But everybody wanted to begin to get lamps, electric floor lamps, and lamps over there, you know, and bed lights and things. And my father was a very reasonable man and a very good family man, and just as good as he could be. But he just put that on that, and he said, "No, we're not going to have any of those kind of things. We're going to have these up here. I thought you'd want to get rid of lamps. They're always on the at the room, the checkout room on your table. You can't put anything else there because of the lamps." And so during his lifetime, we didn't have any lamps. Because he thought it was a thing, it was a mark of progress to have a ladder up in the middle of the room. But now I can show you, if you want to go over the house, I'll be glad to show you. I'll give you a little tour, a cook's tour. But this room above was my room when I was coming up. And I had one of those high beds. And all my friends had bed lights. But I couldn't put them way up on the top of that bed. So I somehow I maneuvered around and I got them to cut down that bed so I could bed light. Like the other girl said.
Yeah.
And then there came a time when everybody thinking so I ought to should have been hung from the highest tree. I had to cut that bed down.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be an antique. But now then, to this day, I'll say, I'll show you, I've got a little plastic. Now, that was what I had that time, because it wasn't plastic that time. But whatever I had there, I guess, came to its end of existence. And what's up there now is a cheap little plastic bed light. But the bed was cut down to accommodate that bed light.
Oh dear,
that's a little handy.
You know, I can. I love having a piece. That's good.
How about some ginger ale?
No more, thank you. Huh? No, thank you.
Now that was the end of the session, but of this taping. But then we stayed a long time. We went into the piano room, and we saw some photographs and all sorts of things. And I taped that. I had it on my other little machine. I don't know where those things are. Anyhow, I let it go. This is about 530. Channel 1 over on Miss Lois Dixon's visit, the first visit with Florence. And this is the end of it, unless I can find some more on the little cassettes. Well, here it is. I found it. And this first part is the most delightful part. This is where I sat down in the chair and when I first went in. And Lois said that's where her mother used to sit and look out the window, and she'd always see something to talk about.
It was difficult for her to go down the steps and have a washing machine while we just sold the camera furniture. Because this was the outlook. Over there was the sitting room. But the way the town had grown after the house was built, that overlooked nothing. And so she sit here, and so we planted that. In my house, she did enjoy how we all enjoy. But it blooms this way.
Uh-huh.
But still, people say, why don't you prune it? They're always having much bigger words. Well, if I prune it, then wouldn't anybody sit from the street? Sure enough.
Yeah.
Have a seat.
You know, I can remember when I was growing up, one of my aunts, she was elderly, and she used to sit at the window out where she could see everything that was going on. And the school was titty cornered over there. And she always loved to see the children playing. And I remember that now. I remember, pleasantly. I love to think about that.
Uh-huh.
Wonder to look out of.
Well, my mother was a jolly, bright soul. People think, I see her again, kind of sitting there, they feel so, oh, my, it must have been terribly depressing to live with a semi-invalid. But it wasn't that way with her.
No.
No. Now, she wanted me to go on about my business. I never missed the sun school. I never missed anything.
Yeah.
Okay, I know a lot of things at night I didn't go to because I didn't want to leave her alone
at night. But I went my way all around town and during the day. And when I'd be gone, I may have been gone to Gallagher for that matter. But when I come back, she had Seymour and could tell me what interesting stories.
Yeah.
But she seemed to have maybe the bird, or maybe the little rabbit she'd enjoyed,
yeah.
Or a squirrel, or some children passing by, and they would drop things. And she would magnify whatever it was until she had made a remarkable and a good entertaining story out of it.
Yeah.
Well, now, I just up at the office the other day, one of the fellows there, one of the professors, he's an office by the fellow. I always loved to hear him talk. And, you know, he was just going in a stew. And you know what it was? His old car had broken down. He was in the parking lot, and he turned back out, and even the steering wheel backed off. I see that.
Well, I say she and her brothers were just quite characters to me. Last several years, we'd go in the summertime up to North Georgia. Her older sister had died. She had no children. Her husband had much older than she. He had previously gone. And the younger brother, who had never married, lived with. So the younger brother unmarried and the older sister would live together. And this big old home place reminded me somewhat, and so smaller the grip goes like Tehran.
Mm-hmm.
So then they had a big farm, and
mm-hmm.
they had the finest talent on the colored people.
Mm-hmm.
And those six fine looking young men, they were fine physique as the government ever put into an army.
Yes.
And they were the pallbearers. So my uncle died, and my aunt died. Well, we went back up there, and we spent the summers at this place after they had gone.
Now, where is this?
It's way up in North Georgia. We're 10 miles out from Calhoun.
Mm-hmm.
From Calhoun, Georgia. There's something near between Atlanta and Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the days got quite long to me. But they would sit there on this porch, and they'd watch these, they had a family of geese that was go out every morning down somewhere. Well, they sit there and it was just, I wish I had a recorder for that. The imaginary conversation that
mm-hmm.
they would say that's the father.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mom and all these little family. Now they're talking about, they're telling what they're going to do when they get down there. And you know, it was just like, you read that sort of thing. People have a style of writing like that.
Yeah.
Well, it just amazed me. I just was highly entertained just hearing them make up this conversation.
Yeah.
That those geese were having. As they'd go in the morning, they would see them come back in the afternoon, we'd be out there again by that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just humorous and clever.
Yes.
Wow.
I'd love to hear that. I'd love to hear some good talk like that. You know, those Uncle Remus stories had some good talk
like
in
that,
it.
Uh-huh. I like that.
If you could just hear it now,
mm-hmm.
instead of having it read,
mm-hmm.
it'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Why sometimes they're so ridiculous and so funny until it you're just in stitches and laughter over the things that they would make up with those children, that those geese had said. Well, my mother had, she had four brothers and this one sister.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger brother never married, and the brother older than he married but never had any children. And those are the two uncles who spent their last years with me. The sound I had, well, not the whole year, they both kept their homes up there.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't come down here in the winter. But they would not stay in the summer. They just knew this place was plagued with children fever, malaria.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't heard of a case of malaria, and I don't know when.
Mm-hmm.
I had it when I was a child. We'd take quinine and all that sort of stuff. But they still thought that about Florida. No, they couldn't. No. I said, well, just stay in here. Sell that place to the old place up there. We'll put in some air conditioning if you think it's too hot. Now, a bit hotter here than the thing, because I've been to both places all various seasons.
Yeah, all except.
Tell the difference.
All except August. I'd make some concessions about that.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Or September. So. But I said, well, we just get some air conditioning put in down here. And, but no, they wouldn't do it. So there was a time when I had them both.
Well, now, that's before I was down
it
here,
is
right?
The last one died in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
The other one died in 1951. He died at the age of 75. The other one died at the age of 85.
Mm-hmm. How long did your mother live?
My mother died at the age of 40. I mean 70.
Mm-hmm.
And my father died at the age
of 70. That would take her back into the...
My mother died in... She died in 40. She was 70 years old, but she died in 1940.
Oh.
My father died at 31. There hadn't been a man around this place in a long time.
Yeah.
And I wonder how the woman would kept it up financially every other way.
That's a good riddance sometimes. Uh-huh. They're the ones that bring in the dirt.
Uh-huh.
Now this is 660, and it goes from the beginning, you see, before I started taping, before. Now this is after we started taping and left the little living room and went into the piano room, and then I walked on out to the car with Florence.
It was the poorest week for me. I had this company, and
yeah.
I've had a toothache extraction. Well,
yeah.
Hadn't been feeling too well, and then it was so. I don't know why. I had the Sunday came, and I wasn't as well prepared as you. I really wasn't.
Yeah.
But you know that class that there is no one in there over under 65. Their grandmother's club.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to study much. Now they want to come, they want to have fellowship, they want to commune, and it means a lot to them. And we all, and I try to see that we take something back.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not information historically about the Bible or anything like that,
uh-huh.
but something that would maybe help them during the week. And that would help me. Something helped me too.
Uh-huh.
So we enjoy our sessions, but they're not maybe just what the Southern Baptist Convention would recommend. For us to be doing, but we said, so what?
Yeah.
So what? And then they send out all this literature that's very fine, but you can't get people up in that age to always do what the power to be said to do about having this outline and doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So but they enjoy what we do. They come regularly, so they must feel like they're getting... I say, you're in the Lord's house. Whether I say anything or anybody else says anything, there's a blessing here awaits you if you come in the right spirit.
Let me tell you. I was going to bring it and I forgot it. You know, my mind just don't. I just don't. I can't remember anything. I had something surprise for you. Is a little tape I wanted you to hear. You didn't have to hear the whole thing, but you know, it was surprise. It was. I brought the tape recorder down to John Andy's several times, and I would have done it more, but you know how it is, never get around to it. And this is one of his Sunday morning messages.
He was strong.
Yes.
We have a nice preacher now too.
And it's so nice,
here.
You know, just to be able to hear him again.
Oh.
And that's a good thing. I did it, you know, I was going to give it to you all. I don't have to use for it.
Yeah. Come in.
Oh, it's too high.
And they just strain. They won't touch it so bad. I said, I'm sorry. If I find those, now I can't afford it. But this wood is that hard to take anything out of and to put another hole in the end of there. So I said, you just have to grow to it.
It's a little,
I'm sorry.
How do you call it, a little welcome
heart?
A little
Danish welcome heart.
What about that?
Mm-hmm. And this way I practice my music lessons. And when I teach my music lessons.
This is your studio.
This is my
chair. This is an octagon shaped
room,
you'll notice.
Uh-huh.
I'm
going
to like this.
Those
will be
pupil
friends.
Mm-hmm. Those are her friends up there, teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my mother when she was 17.
Yeah.
And this is Laura Richardson.
She took with the children at one time.
1946.
You mean she looked like that?
Yes. She had long hair.
I wouldn't recognize her.
She wore braids around her hair.
Yes.
This is Charlotte, and that's Alice.
Well,
the morning after her recital. Now, they have a large one in color.
Yes.
And it looks like the children. That looks like her, too, except her, of course, her hairstyle is entirely different.
I remember when she wore like that.
Oh, you do, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh. I remember the children when they were that size, too.
And that's your mother?
Well, she was 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in high school then. When they were that little.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have put an age of mine now. That's right. She's always telling me about Mr. Capuccio, right?
Mr. Capuccio.
Yeah.
Is he your teacher?
Uh-huh.
She's
in
quoting.
Charter.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She quotes him.
Let me see what he is.
Yes, yeah, he nearly expelled me from school.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
C-H-I-A-P-U-S-S-O. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Capuccio.
He
hadn't been in this country very long. He spoke quite guttural in German. About 10 o'clock in the morning before my 4 o'clock afternoon lesson, I began to butterfly in my stomach. I was about fit to be tired by the time I came to have my lesson.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to count those Zerner studies, 16th notes. One, two, and I could tap my foot and play the things out all right. He told me to count, you know. I did him like my pupils do me.
Yeah.
I thought I'm counting out too.
And one day he said, well, we just prepared the lesson. If you can't count that by next week, when time's going, but you just go to office and tell him you just continued your music lesson.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Believe me.
I've
been expelled from school because I wouldn't count. I started counting. I've been counting ever since.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you'll have to go on a tour up there and see the big fish you caught and so forth.
Now, come on, do it now if you have time.
Now, how the wind gets way back over there and blows it up from that end, and I don't know about the sand.
I'd like to go sometime.
All right.
They're not all at one time.
Not all at one time.
Yes, I appreciate it.
Don't let them tear that down. What would you do with it? Too good a fence to burn.
And that's still good hard lumber.
Yes, as hard as it can be. This is the nicest porch to sit on when the children take their lessons. I come up and sit up here and rock. Keep the children in sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I just love to come up here. It's always cool on this porch, even on the hottest day. Yeah.
This is where a porch ought to be more than just one little sign.
Or either a swing over here in the swing, but the children, you know, play pretty good up here. We walk around her yard.
That's
how I investigated her back stalls down there. I'm always walking the kids around. No, and then she comes out and sits with me. I was sitting right over here when she read that Josiah Wedge.
Yeah. I remember that.
That's right. I remember it. I was so impressed with it that I was eager to take it home.
Thank you very much.
Well,
it's
been fun. So now we'll have a repeat.
All right.
Book one.
And we've got a...
That's right. Miss Lois is... This is, I think, James the Fairy Godmother.
Yeah.
She always remember her first Halloween... Card? No, she always remembers Nancy. That's nice.
That's
nice. So I put it in her book. So we had to put, we still have a surprise for Miss Lois. We have to get down.
You got
a lot of real blessing to me because I can put the kids in the back.
Yeah. Now in
the middle.
You went back to the station wagon.
Had to. Mm-hmm. I didn't have enough room.
No.
I carpool and put the noise in.
Go ahead, Lois, about you. Don't stop. Thank you.
Thank you, Lois. See here, I can put
three
in here.
Lord, yes.
And then you can put one in here plus the baby, which I need, actually.
Yeah.
And then one to two up here because I have two hammers for children and
three,
three four
six,
of mine.
3, 6, 9 pasture?
You can put four. And four.
So isn't this what they call 9 passages?
Mm-hmm.
Or some such thing.
Mm-hmm. And,
I'm telling you, there's nothing like it.
Did you know it's no longer than the car I had?
Sure.
Wheelbase, same.
Yeah.
But this will let down flat, and you can put things in it and leave this seat up.
or you can flatten this seat and this seat and have it for hauling all
sure.
the way, or
sure.
either you can flatten the center and leave this up.
Yeah.
It works out real, real good, and the back door opens either down or sideways, like either gate or door, like so.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you can't tell it, but it's in the ceiling is soundproof. And the kids, boys can get back here in the back, and you can't even hear them.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it kind of nice, because they can carry on their private conversation in the far back, and then the others in the front, and it cuts the bickering down to a minimum. Over here is the one that was like this one. He was talking about this one.
Oh. It's been cut in two, hasn't it?
Yeah. Sort of cut around, cut down.
I gee whiz.
Isn't that something?
I don't know. You know, it's
not that way. My children love this house here. They would like to have one just like it.
Yeah.
Most children think it was a month. It's real interesting that there's very little dust in that house at any time I've ever been in there, nor has it ever smelled musty.
Oh, really?
Never. And I've been in there all year long, any time of the year that you can name it. Never smelled musty.
She airs it?
And she does not have a maid or anybody that helps her. She does all of it herself.
No maids to have anymore, are there? Is there? Are there?
Not many. But she does it all herself.
Yeah.
And, so I say, she's 72.
Yeah.
She's 74.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Got
yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
I used to come down for a half hour less, and I'd be here 2 hours every week.
Yeah.
Mostly because the stores
yeah.
were always. It's like she's always said, I've got something to show you, and she's always had about two things to show me every time I came down, and she always saved them for me because I always enjoy seeing them. You know?
Now let's see. This is Thursday. Now she teaches a good bit on Saturday, I imagine.
She has two in the morning early, and then none till noon, and then she has one at 1, and 1:30 and 2. She has three children in the afternoon, an hour and a half, and then she has two in the morning for an hour. That's all. First one comes at 8:30. Carla comes at 9, so she's due at 9:30.
You know what? Now I noticed when you get the.
Yeah. Not so many people would have passed him by.
Yeah.
Right?
She really told it too, didn't she?
Yeah, you see, it's just like a performance of some kind.
Yeah.
And it's like, so
just performance, yeah.
Yeah, she didn't check off me there. That's why I said. You can see why I might be sort of enchanted at times.
Yeah, and that little reading, one or two of those readings, will get to her sometime.
Well, that's out, and it wound up out in the 9-passenger station wagon that Florence has for her children and her riders. She told me how it worked out. And one nice little thing, you see, she's at Lois's house. She's never found any dust in it, and it's never smelled musty. And we stood out there just a little bit, and then that was the end of the session. This is the end, about 9:30. The end of the visit with Lois, on the first visit with Lois, on Thursday the 13th of March, 1969. And this is the end of Channel 1 Over. This is the end of Channel 1 Over.